Eden Kaz here with Just Be, and we are about to take a spiritual
boom.
This is an unprecedented time of history with dramatic awakenings, evolutions in consciousness, and unity. This is the place to find your truth beyond politics, your sovereignty, your voice. I started this podcast out being gentle, but the time for that has passed. Let's kick up your vibration now. By the way, each episode ends with the Just Be practice to do just that. See what I'm all about at EdenJustBe.com. And let's get this party started. Before we begin, let me stress this podcast is important. Share it. It's like listening to Good Will Hunting as well. And our sound quality at times isn't the best. Work through it. You can watch it on video as well, yet work through it. It is imperative. Ooh, let's go.
Okay, little smile, please. Awesome.
You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Oh gosh, you've done this so much. All right, let's go. Eden, Just Be Spiritual Boom here, foundationally leading you to sing and being more. And the Just Be practice is at the end of the video and audio at this point. So we're going to talk about some stuff. And then there's a point to get at peace and relax with everything. We're going to have an awesome conversation today. So after having Carrie Cassie on, I'm looking at my notes last week. We're going to Margie Flynn out of Arkansas today. So Margie, can you please say hello to our viewers and our listeners? And then I'll do a little intro.
Sure. Hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Sweet. Now, this is the first time I'm seeing Margie, which is awesome. She and I met over a year ago when I was putting together, and it ended up being an 11-page affidavit. And let me read to you what that is, because a lot of you probably don't know what that is, and I didn't know what it was before the time. An affidavit is a written statement voluntarily made by a deponent, very complicated, under an oath or affirmation which is administered by a person who is authorized by law. To say this is a very legal type document with lots of wording, Margie helped me tremendously, helped me put it together. I'm pretty sure this affidavit was used as a basis for many affidavits throughout Ohio, which is where I am right now. I sent it to Kent State University, basically discussing how unlawful their masking was and their COVID mandates. And we also sent reiterations of it to schools here around I'm in North Canton, Jackson, a whole bunch of areas. All right. So let me read about Margie. And I want to know more of what happened to you over Thanksgiving week, which seemed interesting. Margie was born in Boston, raised and educated in Massachusetts, has traveled the country and lived in many states over the years as an only child, which I am as well. And I totally understand this. Much of her time was spent with adults. So early on, she was privy to adult conversations and discussions about life, death, politics, spirituality, world events, ethics, morality, gardening, nutritional, and holistic health matters. This led to her keen interest in understanding reality, her deep insights into the true human condition on earth, and her search for the reasons behind it. Amen to that. Her lifelong pursuit has been, oh, this is so great, truth, justice, fairness, freedom, and well-being for her fellow humans, using her native talents and metaphysical gifts. Mm-hmm. As a mother of 4 adult children and a grandmother of 9 wonderful beings from ages 23 to 10, Margie has known the challenges of raising a family, heck yes, as well as the joys, thus deep concerns for the future of America. Since she has been a Reiki practitioner now for over 30 years and a Reiki master teacher for over 26 years, sharing the divine light of healing with many, many people, as well as birds, domestic pets, and farm animals. All right, here's the last chunk of it. In addition to her healing work, Margie's combined efforts over many decades working with her husband, Jack, have helped empower people like me to recognize the power and authority of the National Constitution, to comprehend and advocate for their inherent rights, and win thousands of victories, both in and out of court, against corrupt, unconstitutional American governments. The Flynns live in Arkansas, as I stated, with their three young dogs and four cats, surrounded by endless wonder and comfort of Mother Gaia and all her glory. I might have even held this up above the camera. I'm not even sure. Wow. Okay, that's delicious. Can you add to that, or is there anything else we need to know?
Pretty much covers everything, I'd say. It's a gloss over. You know, I could go into details, but we'd be here for 6 days. So I've been doing work with it. My focus has been helping others, okay, whether it's with healing work or whether it's with the constitutional work, showing people the absolute insanity of so-called government and what's going on, because it's all related. You cannot separate our spiritual lives from our everyday mundane lives. And one of the things that I have to comment on, because I've been doing this a really long time, is that a lot of people, excuse me, who are in the so-called spiritual movement,
yes,
are afraid to do anything that pertains to anything that's geopolitical. It's almost as if they've been cast under a spell that if you say anything negative, you're a bad person, and you don't fit the so-called profile of this lovely human being who sees everything as beauty and light. That's an unrealistic expectation for anybody. And it's served, the purpose that it has served, unfortunately, is to make people passive, make them sit back and say, well, I don't want to get involved, or I'm not a bad person, or I'm going to wait for the next hero to come along, the next president, or the next whomever. Okay. And that mentality has put us in a very dark place right now. We are not, you know, accepting our personal responsibility as individual people, and we're not accepting and acting upon our collective responsibility as a group of people. You know, if the American people don't realize that their country is hanging by a thread, then they're not going to do anything, and the country is going to slip into the abyss of communism. It's that close. It really is. So I think what we have to do as a people is open up our third eye.
Yes.
Tune into what's going on around us. Be able to discern a lie from the truth and choose to take righteous, lawful, constitutional action, because we have the power. We have the authority as American citizens. We have the duty as American citizens to hold our government accountable. And as human beings, we have the power and the divine grace in us to do the right thing, to know what the right thing is, to do it because it is the right thing, not because somebody's going to reward you or put your name in the paper or whatever. We really have to look at how we've allowed ourselves to be led into some very, very strange places. And I don't know if enough Americans have gotten to the realization yet. That's what we have to see happening.
Let me pow into this. That was a great introduction, because where I am, knowing that you're a Reiki master, knowing that I do a lot of spiritual work as well, it's either, well, there are three tiers. Let me see if I say this right. There are a lot of spiritual people that have no idea. Actually, when I came out about my knowledge, let's call it a couple of years ago, one person that I had a lot of respect for basically sent me an article about how spiritual people are being led in the wrong direction, which I was just like, no, they're not. Then there are those that really have no idea about what's going on, and they don't realize, because Margaret, it's so awesome to talk to you today, because I feel like I'm still not doing enough. Like this podcast is awesome, and I talk to most of my clients about it. So I'm really ramping up, because there is so much. And for people to realize actually what is going on, and there are so many levels in terms of what's happening, it's a lot of stuff, and it's challenging, and it's hard, and yeah.
It is hard, and to go back to your point about spiritual people being led in the wrong direction, I hate to have to say it, but they have been. It's because, you know, I said this for decades, that the powers that be, the dark forces that are running things and that intercede and interwoven and are overarchingly in control, they use our best instincts against us, our kindness, our desire to know God, spirit, whatever you want to call it, our desire to live a full and worthwhile life. They use that against us, and they pit us against other people who to us seem like monsters, and we don't want to be like them. We want to be good people, so we'll go home and meditate. Meanwhile, the city's burning around us, and we're not doing a damn thing. And this is what we have to shake ourselves out of this spell. I really have said for a long time, probably 50 years, that this planet has been under a vibrational spell, an energy force that has interfered with our ability to receive divine grace and to basically understand it and interpret it. We all have it, but we don't access it. And more people, between the calcification of the pineal gland, yes, and the garbage and the food and the distractions on televisions and movies and everything else, and just the overall stress that's gone on for the last almost 3 years with this COVID nonsense, there is such an amount of pressure on people that it's hard for them to be discerning about what is the right thing to do. But in their gut, most of them know something is radically wrong. And if we can reach those people and just help them open their eyes and ears a little bit, and don't expect them to, you know, jump off the diving board at this end just yet, but maybe they're pulling away.
Yes, some are, which is, and I don't know about you. Well, one thing, when I talked to Margie about doing this before, I'm probably using my own words, and that you were excited in a sense, because so much of what you do is constitutionally based. It was so nice to come on a more spiritual program so we can talk about spirituality. And I was going to lend something else to that, but it just went out of my head.
Sometimes we don't get a chance to talk about spiritual things. It's such a crisis in the world right now. I do believe in power of thought. Okay. Thought, intentional thought. And I think we need to be directing our to our fellow brothers and sisters on earth to help them awaken to truth, whatever that is, to awaken to truth. And it has to happen quickly.
Well, how, knowing that you were an only child and you were always open and had a keen interest in the world, how did you start to realize the depth of this? Or when did you realize the depth? Or have you always known?
I've known ever since I was a child. Partly because I think I have a great deal of what you would call intuitive or psychic ability, and also because my mother was very aware of the dark side. Okay, she was one of the first people in my life who showed me how government isn't what it pretends to be, how wars are all about big business and making money for banks and corporations, and not about doing the right thing and, you know, helping other people to be free. That's a bunch of baloney. And if you look at the wars that this country has fought, which has been ongoing forever, all of them were intrusions by us, and they didn't do anything really to help people. The countries were devastated, but the powerful corporations and banks made out like bandits because they were able to plunder. And that's going on to this day. And yet the American people still rah-rah for the military without even thinking about what this really means. Right now, we have a bunch of mercenaries. They're hired killers, is what they are. I'm not saying that all of them are bad people. A lot of them are there because they came from maybe some rural towns and they didn't have an opportunity. They couldn't afford college, or they didn't have the grades or whatever. And so for them to get out and see the world, so to speak, they join the Army or the Navy or the Marines or the Air Force or whatever. That's how they get them. And once they're in there, they get so used to being told what to do, they don't have to think. They just follow orders. So for a lot of what I would call average people, you know, the sort of the road, it's a good life for them. They can retire young, you know, get out with a pension and so forth. But what are they doing? I mean, I've had many conversations with military men, retired, who spoke of how they felt when they learned, say, for instance, after the Vietnam War, which was a complete travesty of justice. One guy that I know, when he got home and he realized how he and his fellow soldiers had been used, he burned his draft card. And he said, I went ballistic because I realized I was a dupe.
And he burned his what? You broke up just a little bit.
His draft card. He burned his draft card.
Okay.
because to him, that was a symbol of what he had done. He had gone into the service thinking he was fighting for freedom and against communism. It was exactly the opposite.
Right.
And knowing that, he said, I almost had a breakdown. He said, I struggled with PTSD because my conscience was so guilty because I was part of that. And the things that happened to you, he said, I don't want to go into it. But he said, it was awful, awful. He said, and I've never been the same. And he said, you talk to any GI that went through what I did, and if they're honest, they'll tell you the same thing. So, you know, it's a bad scene.
It's been a while, but I was watching something about World War II and how Berlin, I think it was Berlin, okay, hopefully this is all correct, was bombed when they were having a circus. So it was families, kids, and they put bodies lining them up on the streets, like this stuff that you do not see. This wasn't just army. This was civilians. These were children, thousands of people. I remember watching it just crying, going, why didn't we know about this? Why?
We were deceived, even. We were told, okay, if you look back at what happened in the Second World War, Hitler was painted as an anti-Semite. He was painted as a monster. None of that is true. What Hitler was fighting was communism, okay? And unfortunately, at the time, most of the active communists who had come into Germany like carpetbaggers and ruined other people's businesses were Jews, okay? Zionists, Khazars. So he gave them an opportunity to leave. He helped them get to Israel or go to a home country or whatever, because he wanted to have Germany for the Germans, not because he was brutal or hated Jews, but because he knew that the agenda that they were following, whether they realized it or not, was very bad, not only for his country, but for the entire world, because the wars were about communism. The First World War was about bringing communism into Germany and some of the other European communities, mm-hmm. and Russia, of course, because of Bolshevik Revolution, which was a complete horror show. And then the Second World War was about bringing communism further into Europe and then spreading it to America. And the Americans just, you know, they can't get it through their head that this is what's happened. Communists came to this country before the War of Northern Aggression, which some people call the Civil War. I don't call it that because it was nothing civil about it. It was a horror show. Fighting, you know, brothers and friends. Come on, it's ridiculous. And what was that about? It wasn't about slavery. That war was fought because of money. The bankers, they were trying to basically force the South into giving them the kinds of business deals that they wanted. They didn't care what happened to the South. And the South was perfectly justified in leaving the Union. It was their right. There were sovereign states. Each state is a sovereign nation. They had the right to secede if the Union wasn't being run properly, and it wasn't. But, of course, what's the story go? Oh, Abe Lincoln, and he saved the slaves. He didn't give a crap about slavery at all. He did not. In fact, he was a communist, too. People don't know this. They don't know how many of our so-called leaders in the past were communists. And you come up,
he's placed as a good guy, and even in the stuff that I look at, because I look at a lot, too, that he's just this, okay, and just... Just to give a second, as we've just talked about Hitler, that may be a complete mind switch for a lot of you guys. So let's just take a second to sit with it. Ooh, and open your hearts and listen to more of what Margie has to say. Because how long have you been doing this, honey? I just called you honey.
As a teenager. I've been standing up for justice since I was like 13 years old.
Oh, and how did your mom know more? She just knew it intuitively as well and then just started studying it?
Knew it intuitively, and she was a keen observer of human behavior. And as I said, I was with adults a lot as a child because, you know, when you're an only kid, they can take you pretty much everywhere. So I would go and I would listen to the conversation. Sometimes I'd bring a book with me and read, but I'd always be listening to what was going on. So I heard all the discussions about the pros and cons of various political parties, all the nonsense that goes on. And for some reason, my family was aware that it was all BS. So I got that very, very young, and I looked at things in a different way than most people do.
Yes.
Like my eye-opening experience. And it stayed with me because when I did my own investigating and research, it supported everything that my parents and family had expressed when I was a kid. And, you know, to me, I said, well, okay, this is how it is. I don't like it. I wish it were different, but it is the way it is. And so I can't walk around with blinders on and pretend that everything's fine because it isn't. It's not fine at all. And as long as the American people do this, and refuse to look at what is right under their nose, they're going to be living like slaves. And believe me, they think it was bad the last couple of years. They haven't seen anything yet. What they have in store for us, Eden, is absolutely
horrific. Okay, I want to hear about that. We'll go back to Abe Lincoln in just a second. Man, Margie, there's so many questions that are coming into my head and they're just leaving. So I guess I'm not supposed to concern myself with that. Yeah, can we go back to Abe Lincoln? Because I definitely want to hear your thoughts in terms of what's coming up. Because I have said to folks, it's going to get worse before it gets better. So get ready. All right, can we go back to dear old Abe?
Yes, we can. Dear old Abe, he had his own agenda, like most politicians do. And he at one point thought he was going to go up against the bankers, because once he realized that they weren't really on the same page as he was, then he was absolutely, you know, expendable to them, which is why he was killed. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really a political issue like they tried to make it. It was the fact that the powers that be run the show, and they hire the right people at the right time to eliminate people that are troublesome, okay?
Yep.
You have to understand that, you know, this country from the very beginning was brought in under a form of deception. Even though our founding fathers, many of them were certainly real and serious and legitimate and believed in what they did, and they sacrificed a heck of a lot to bring this country into being. But within that mixture, there were what we call kingsmen who were working as what you might call agents for the king. Okay, one of them was George Washington. Mm-hmm. One was Alexander Hamilton. Another one was John Jay, the first Supreme Court justice. Okay. And those people, what their agenda was, as soon as everyone thought, oh, everything's fine, we have our nice country, right away, the first thing they did was bring in a private central bank. Okay? That's one of the key positions of communism, a private central bank, because what it does is indebt the government and everybody in the country to this private central bank. Now, this went back and forth. It came, it went, it came, it went. The War of 1812, okay, that came about because the contract, if you will, or the charter for that first Bank of the United States, which it wasn't the Bank of the United States, it was run by the Bank of England. Mm-hmm. When charter was about to expire, the smarter real patriots did not want to renew it. They wanted to have their own treasury because Congress is supposed to, you know, have the say over money, coining,
right,
and whatnot. So what they did was get threatened by England that if they didn't play ball, there would be a terrible, devastating war. And that's what happened, the War of 1812. And eventually they kicked the crap out of us, so we had to capitulate. And the next central bank came in. And then later on, Andrew Jackson got rid of the central bank, but he mistakenly gave the power that private central banks had to the states, which wasn't a good thing either. We need a people's bank, not a private bank. Mm-hmm. And he said, before he died on his deathbed, he said his greatest achievement was, I killed the bank, the big bank. And that bank is, you know, it's a foreign entity. It's run out of the City of London, not London proper, but the City of London, which is a separate principality, if you will, just like the Vatican is, and just like D.C. They're three legs of this triumvirate, if you will. And they are the ones that control everything that goes on this planet. There's nothing that they don't have their thumbs in. And they have multiple agents, and people will say, oh, it's the Jesuits. Oh, it's the Masons. Oh, it's all of them. They're all working for the same goal, which is the suppression of humanity. What they want to do, and I know this is going to sound awful, but it's true, is they really want to take our humanity from us. And you know what that is? It's our spirit, okay?
Oh, yeah. I'm totally there with you.
Spirit to our physical body. And that's where they're going now. That's what this whole thing is about, the shot. People who have gotten this shot, and I've seen so much, because people send us stuff all the time when they find something out. You got to see this. And my God, we go crazy because it's just so much. But many people who have taken this shot have either died or they're gravely ill and they'll never recover. And those who haven't gotten super ill yet are changing. Their personalities are different. They don't look the same. They don't talk the same. They don't act the same. Because there's this self-replicating garbage in their bodies. In fact, you know, I had a heart attack, so I was in the hospital.
Yeah, tell us, so Thanksgiving week, that happened to you and you had a blood clot. I know I'm saying some of the story, but yeah, talk some about that.
Yeah, it was really kind of bizarre because I had this horrible chest pain and my husband took me up to the hospital. And so when they realized I had chest pain, they took me right in. They were very quick about it. And they determined quickly that my cardiac enzymes were sky high, which shows stress on the heart. And they thought it might be a blockage. But the doctor said I was confused because I looked at your tests and your tests were all good. You know, you don't have plaque. But he said, something's not right, so we're going to admit you. So they did. And the next day they did an angiogram. And that's when they found that apparently I did something physical that strained or stressed my heart. And it caused my coronary artery, the central one, to tear. And so it started leaking blood. And of course, the body's going to heal itself. So it starts making up a clot to seal the problem up, right? Well, the clot ended up blocking my artery 100%, and I damn near died. So it was a scary thing. But when I was sitting in the admissions place, when they take your information, and they were very quick about it, one of the questions that the gal asked me was, would you accept a blood transfusion from the general population to save your life? And I said, no.
Oh my gosh. I would only
accept a blood transfusion from my husband. And she said, okay. She said, I'm going to write this on your chart right now so they won't make any mistakes. And she said, I'm hearing this more and more from people who don't want to take a chance on getting blood from vaccinated people.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to be really careful what you're doing right now. Really, really careful.
People that are single that know about all this stuff, like I will not date someone, and I'm not dating anybody anyway, but when it comes time, no vaccinated person, because even in anything physical, it even if you're not doing anything physical, some of that rubs off on you, let's call it that way. Yet if you are in physical contact with them too, it's just, I don't know what all can come into your body. So I'm very... very wary of that. I did remember one question, Margie, I wanted to ask you. When you knew all of this as a child and you started being inquisitive, did you feel like when you met Jack, was it just like, oh my gosh, we totally understand things? Were you alone?
That's a story in and of itself.
Oh my
gosh. Jack and I were at a Reiki clinic in Marblehead, Massachusetts.
Oh my gosh.
He had come with a friend of because he was having issues with his back. And it was the summertime. And I was one of the more senior practitioners. And we had a lot of people that were out because of vacations. So I was doing the second session from 8 to 9. I walked into the vestibule and I looked and he was coming down the hallway and our eyes literally locked for a second or two, like some kind of energy. I said, do I know him? And then I realized that I had to shut the door because the air conditioning was on. I didn't want to waste it. So I shut the door. I went in and he went into another room. And I put my purse in the back room. And our supervisor, John, who was our head boy, he came up to me and he asked me if I would mind taking this fellow by myself because it was shorthanded. And he said, you're the most senior practitioner here. So he said, would you mind? I said, no, it's not a problem at all.
Okay.
Walked into the room that Jack was in. He was sitting on the table. And just as I crossed the threshold, I saw images of like deserts and mountains and yucca plants and cactus. And I'm thinking, what the heck is this? Because I heard him speak and he sounded like he was a Bostonian. So I thought, So it turns out he had been living in Las Vegas, Nevada, and also sometimes in Arizona. But he came back to Boston because his father was having heart surgery and came back to help him. And while he was here, he helped a friend move and he hurt his back. So anyway, I worked on him. And when the treatment was over, he sat up and he said, oh my God, I think you cured me.
And I
said, well, that was the idea, wasn't it? He said, no, I mean, really, I think you fixed me. I feel great. I said, good, you know, wonderful. So anyway, he said he would probably come back. Would I be there? And I said, yeah, usually I'm here mostly every week, you know. And he said, okay. So he kept coming back, and then finally I heard speaking with one other woman saying that he had to go back to Nevada to do some business things there. And so she asked him, you know, is he going to fly? And he said, no. He said, I'm going to drive. And she said, how are you going to go? He said, well, I'm going to take probably Route 70, go out through Colorado. And I said, oh, that's a nice drive. And he said, oh, have you been west? And I said, yeah, I had actually. He said, when? And I said, well, I've been in Colorado. And I said, one of my sons goes to school in Arizona. And he said, where? Like he didn't believe me. I said, Arizona State University, you might have heard of it. And he said, you have a boy in college? And I said, yeah. He looked my age.
And he said, okay, so you were divorced at that point.
Oh, I was divorced. Yeah. Okay. My youngest was like 18, 19, you know, and I was in college in Arizona, and Greg was in college in Boston. They're all over the place. So long story short, he said, you know, he was hoping that he would see me when he came back in January. And I said, sure. You know, I said, I'll probably be here. So I had the feeling he was going to call me. And I got home that day, and I didn't expect it then, but I said, maybe tomorrow. So I went to work, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and she said, so what's going on with you? And I said, nothing, but I think I'm going to get a phone call from this guy. And she said, really? Honey, give me the dirt, you know? And I said, well, I don't have anything concrete, but I have a strong feeling that there's going to be a message on the machine. So I got home from work that afternoon, and there was a message on my machine. Could we meet for dinner or whatever, you know? And so I called him back, and we set up a time, and we went to dinner. We were in Brookline because that's where his dad was living. We had a lovely Italian dinner, and then we walked down to a park, and we sat on a bench and talked until 4:45 in the morning. And we've been together ever since. It was just an instant thing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And to have a partner who understands everything and is so... Did it take him a while to get to that, or was he already there? Like, y'all just...
He was on the same page as me.
And oh, my gosh.
He's kind of a person who... He says what he thinks, okay? He's a very upfront person.
Yes.
And I'm an upfront person. I'm a little more diplomatic than he is sometimes, but we're both pretty upfront. And so it was like kind of amazing for us to realize that there was another person who saw things the way we do. Now, we don't agree on every little thing. I'm a little kinder in some respects than he is, but we agree on the big stuff, okay? Right. We get what's going on. We know that there's a gigantic battle going on between the light and the dark, so to speak. And we know what side we're on. We're on the light side.
So how, in terms of your constitutional knowledge, did he have that? Did you have that? Did you blend it together? Did y'all start researching that more?
As both of us, for whatever reason, we both love the Constitution. And we actually were told, and I don't tell this to many people, but I'll say it because I don't care. We were actually, one time we were at a psychic's, a very nice man. We had met at a gathering, a spiritual gathering. And he had this beautiful German shepherd, about a year old, and she was lovely. And he said, she won't bother you. I said, oh, I'm fine with dogs. So she was sitting almost in my lap. She was so cute. And he's like, she never does this. I'm so sorry. I said, don't worry about it. She's sweet. So we got to talking during breaks, and he said, I asked him what he does. And he said, well, he said, I'm actually a psychic and I'm an astrologer, a spiritual astrologer. And I do cards too. He said, I'm the seventh son and my mother was the seventh daughter. And I'm the only one in my family that got her ability. And he said, I work to help people find their path. You know, he said, someday when you have some time, he said, come over and see me at the Galleria. And I'll read for you. So one day we did. And he did a very long reading for both of us. And it was bizarre because he dealt the cards to me and then he dealt them to Jack. And the cards were almost exactly the same, except the order was slightly different. He said, this is really strange. And then he did it again for us as a couple. And the same thing happened. And he goes, who are you guys? And we said, Jack and Margie. He said, no, really. He said, I've never experienced this. He said, I've been doing this a long time, and I've never experienced this. He said, you guys have a very long history together. He said, you've been together lifetime after lifetime. He said, you have this thing. It's like, he said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I said, go ahead and say it. He said, you guys were among the first two humans or humanoids who came to this earth when it just was starting, and you helped the flora and the fauna and created what was known to be humanity. And he said, you may not realize it, but you have this personal mission to see them through this next dark time. I'm like, okay. And he said, you don't, you know, brag it or advertise it, but he said, everything you do is aimed toward helping others, which is true. And he was correct in that. And then he made a few other observations, and he said to Jack, oh my God. Jack said, what? He said, I see you in the White House. He said, you were John Adams. And Jack said, really? And he looked at me and he said, you, Margie, were Abigail. And I said, you know, it's interesting that you should say that, because we are up to our eyeballs in helping people using the Constitution and trying to go for justice and the whole bit. He said, doesn't surprise me. And he said, you guys have a mission. You're here to see that the earth recovers from what's being done to her and that people, humans, find their true potential and their real selves. Because he said, there's a dark force that's trying to steal our very spirits. And I knew he was right. And he said, this is your last effort here. And it's like, you know, you have to get it done because this is the end of the line. I said, okay. And what he told us many other things, but what he told us is proven to be true in many of the predictions that he made. So I kind of have to think that maybe he was telling the truth about the other stuff too. And it was so, it just flowed so naturally from him. I think it was genuine. You know, sometimes you go to a reader and they're kind of pretentious or they kind of make it up as they go along. I never got that impression from him.
Well, I am so appreciative of you sharing that story because I just feel it throughout my body. That is fabulous. Did y'all after that point, did you start doing more work like this or y'all had already been doing stuff? Because even when you helped me with the affidavit, y'all were busy. So I was so grateful that you even could give me time because I'm just one individual and y'all are working all over the United States. I mean, yeah.
Well, we've been doing this for a long time, independently of each other before we met and then after we met. We took a little hiatus for a while when we moved to New Mexico thinking we were going to retire, but that didn't happen. We love animals, as you could probably tell. We have, you know, 3 dogs and 4 cats. And we were working as volunteers for a local private shelter because the city one was a horror show. I had a friend and a client on my Reiki table when somebody banged on my front door. It was 2 cops. And they asked me if the car up front of my house was mine. I said, no, it belongs to my client. What's going on? He said, well, we got a report from some people down on that other street there that somebody threw some rats up here. I said, what?
Oh, so gosh. Friend,
he said, excuse me. He said, let me correct this. He said, that's my car. And he said, I keep birds. And they attract mice. So he said, I trap the little things humanely and I release them in the field where they belong. He said, if they weigh more than an ounce, I'd eat one. You know, he said, that's ridiculous. I wouldn't put rats up. So the cop's like kind of embarrassed. He said, oh, well, okay. You know, we had a follow through because of the Hanta virus scare and all this stuff. And Richard said, yeah, okay. So a car pulls up in front of the house and it's the dog officer. And this guy was like a little banty rooster. A guy with a badge and a really bad attitude. He's flattened up the driveway, and a little poodle who was a foster dog was out in front. He said, is that your dog? And I said, she's a foster dog. He said, wait a minute. He went around the back and he could see we had several dogs. He goes, you have more than 4 dogs. That's against the law. And I said, really? He said, yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to give you some tickets. I said, knock yourself out. So a couple of days later, I get 13 tickets in the mail. Too many dogs, unlicensed dogs, and unvaccinated dogs, as if this jackass would know. So we had to go through all the nonsense, and we did our usual affidavit, and we sent a letter, first of all, to the office.
Yeah, he didn't know who he's messing with. Go ahead.
And then we followed up with the affidavit, and we actually went to a city hall meeting, and I read a letter that I had written to the mayor, and he jumps up and says, I want to meet with you privately, because I've heard bad things about these officers. They're out of control, and you need to make an appointment to come see me, and we'll talk. Yeah, okay, whatever. So then Jack was going to speak, and he walks up to the podium, and he promised he was going to be mild. And that night at this city hall, there were hundreds of people there. It was packed to the walls with local police, sheriffs, state police, and federal police, because there was some kind of hearing going on about a nuclear isolation plant down in Carlsbad where the trucks came through our area and there were some issues to be discussed. So I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, Jack gets to the podium and I see something come over him, literally. He just looked different and he starts to talk and he looks down at it like this and in a very serious voice, he says, someone has threatened my wife. He said, nobody threatens my wife. If anything happens to my wife, my dogs, my house, my car, or anything that belongs to me, there's going to be some goddamn dead bodies around here. You got me? And he cracked the podium. And I hear crack. I said, shh, he broke it. Well, you could have heard a pin drop. Everyone just went like that. And the city attorney, who was a total lunatic, stood up and said, "You can't say that." And Jack said, "I just did. What are you going to do about it?" And he put down like this. Everybody started laughing at him, you know, because the guy's a loser. And it was just pandemonium for about 4 or 5 minutes. And they're banging the gavel. Okay, okay, you know. So finally, Jack comes back to sit down next to me. And I'm looking at the exit to see how we can get out of here because there was so many looking people there. And that was the type of thing that, you know, you won't say in a public hearing, but Jack said it. And it's a good thing that he did because New Mexico is like the Wild West. We lived there for 16 years. And people get disappeared all the time if they go against the system. And we went against the system because, you know, everyone said to us when I got the tickets, "Oh, we'll help you pay for the tickets because you shouldn't have to pay for them because they're foster dogs." I said, "No, I'm not paying for those tickets." And they said, "Well, why not? You have to." I said, "No, I don't. They're unconstitutional." And they're like, "Well, how can they be unconstitutional? We have ordinances." I said, "An ordinance doesn't supersede the Constitution. Those dogs are my property. My property are my rights. They can't be taxed, limited, restricted, or legislated in any way." And they're like, "Wow, I didn't know that." So anyway, I won. Okay, I won. And after I won, everyone said, "Oh, we knew you guys were going to win." I said, "Well, where were you when we could have used your moral support, you know, going to meetings and standing up and acknowledging what was going on?" They were like, "Well, we were afraid." Yeah, okay. So then people came out of the woodwork with all of their, you know, injustices and problems and this and that, because there was so much of that going on in New Mexico at the time. The situation was really bad. There were so many stray dogs that people were afraid to walk down the street. Not that they were vicious, but there were a lot of dogs, and it's intimidating. Mm-hmm. So we ended up, once everything was done and I won my case, the fellow who was one of the top heads in the dog thing, not the jerk that came to my house, but his second in command, he walked up to me in the supermarket about a week after I won my case, and he stuck his hand out to shake my hand. And I said, "Hi, Tomas." And he said, "Maggie," he said, "I want to shake your hand." I said, "Okay." He said, "Congratulations on your win." He said, "I got to tell you, I never met anybody like you." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You really stand up for what you believe in." And he said, "Remember when I was arguing with you about the ordinance was the law and everything? And you said, 'No, no, it's not. You know, the Constitution supersedes it.' And you told me, 'Go get some constitutions and read them,' which I did." He said, "Well, I did. And I've been reading them. And I get it. We're wrong. And you were right. And I'm glad that you won because we had no authority to do what we did to you."
Wow.
"Sorry for what grief I caused you and your husband and your dogs." And he said, "It will never happen again." I had offered to help him months before with puppies because they had bad facilities and we had good ones. He said, "Remember you offered to give us a hand?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Would you be willing to follow through on that?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Could I come by tomorrow? We just got a new litter of pups." And I said, "Sure." And that was the beginning of the transformation. And they went from a horrible place to a nice, clean facility that's no kill, that spays and neuters and educates, which was wow. Really what they needed. So like I said to Jack, if we never did anything else in our lives, we did something to help our beautiful dog friends. So, you know, what can you say?
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Do you mind, just for, we could go all over the place. What do you think is going to be coming down the pipe? Because again, the point of this podcast is it is time to wake up. You know, yes. Just because you're a single human being, I because I have taken a stand and I will not sway from that. I've had people come to me thinking that because I think a certain way that I should be acting a certain way. But when I still communicate and am loving, that alone shifts them because the media is putting out there that if you believe this, you're a, you know, insurgent or whatever. And people believe it. And then when they see an insurgent not acting like an insurgent, it's this powerful, beautiful thing. So just to give people a heads up of what might come down the pipe, what are you thinking?
What I'm thinking is this, okay? As I said earlier, we are hanging by a thread, okay? We've been under a communist form of government for about 115 years, okay? Only it was covert. It was quiet. They came in. One of the first places that they infiltrated was education, academia. Columbia University in New York has a lot to say for that. There was a school in Germany, the Frankfurt School, which was in social communism, whatever. And that got kicked out of Germany because Hitler was against communism. So they ended up, you know, going other places. And one of the places some of their people landed was Columbia University in New York. Mm-hmm. And they had so much to say about developing policy for education. And if you take a look at what's going on in any school, I don't care what level it is, it's all communism. It's insanity. And it's so crazy that, you know, to even describe it, people look at you like, what are you nuts? That can't be true. Until they look it up and they say, oh my gosh, you were right. I said, yeah, I'm not going to lie to you.
Can you give us an example or two?
Okay. How many children in this country have any idea what the Constitution says?
Probably not many.
How many schools teach civics?
Gosh, used to be, but yeah, not anymore. Yep.
Many schools are teaching children cursive writing.
Oh, that's gone a long time ago.
All of that is blatant communism. Cursive writing is very important to the way the brain works for critical thinking. Communism doesn't want critical thinking. They want people to follow along. Go along with the crowd. Don't make any waves. Be a good little girl. Get your reward. We have to look at what we've allowed to happen because of our indifference, our ignorance, and our apathy. We have not been good citizens, okay? We have not. We've been too busy trying to, you know, stay alive, get ahead at our job, raise a family, you know, make a decent dinner, whatever. And we haven't looked at the other big part of the puzzle. And I've said to people before when they said, well, you know, I have to do this. And I know, but listen to this. What good is a nice home and a car and a boat if your country is going to hell in a handbasket and in a very short time, there will be no freedom, no freedom of choice, no independence, nothing. Most of the jobs that people do, especially the blue-collar and menial ones, they're going to be gone. They're going to be taken over by AI and robotics. So those people have any place to work. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to give them a guaranteed income, minimum amount of money.
Yes.
Or keep them quiet. Just like when the COVID thing happened and they were giving unemployment benefits in a ridiculous amount, who the heck wanted to go to work?
And they didn't, right?
No, exactly. And, yeah, look at the economy. Look at how many businesses went out.
Yeah. So this is one of the things I'm going to point to all of y'all and say, it happened. This isn't just Margie talking about. I mean, this was real. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yes. And what they did there, the whole idea behind COVID was to see just how much crap the American people would take. And guess what? We took way too much because very few people understood that government doesn't have any right to dictate to you what you do with your body. That is your sacred property, the most priceless property that you have. You are guaranteed the right to life, liberty, and property, Fifth Amendment. They have no authority to tell you what to do with your body, especially to try to impose a very toxic injection that could kill or physically ruin you. And yet people just rolled up their sleeves and said, okay. And of course, you know, we didn't do that. And a lot of people said to us, well, you know, I want to be responsible. I don't want to make other people sick, so I'm going to take a shot. I said, you know, I understand that your heart's in the right place, but you've been misled. What you're doing might sound noble, but it's going to prove to be a bad thing for you, and I'm sorry. But you can't force people. You cannot make them do something. They have to get it. And a lot of people who took that shot are now regretting and waiting for the ticking time bomb to go off as they see families and friends dying or coming down with very bad illnesses, neurological problems, heart issues. I mean, it's terrible.
I posted. So Stu Peterson's Die Suddenly documentary, which I'm going to talk about again, I post, and apparently it was trending on Twitter, which is awesome. I put it on Facebook. Of course, they took it down, said it was false information. But again, the embalming community is noticing clots that are just unreal coming out of people's bodies. So they are concerned. They kept these vials. It's literally just amazing. I'm put it out there. It's amazing to watch because even someone who doesn't agree with all of this, you cannot look away. And I know many people that have died suddenly and someone will tell me about it like, oh, they just died suddenly. And I'm like, yes, they are. They vaccinated? Well, yes. I'm like, come
sorry.
On, connect.
You're breaking up.
The dots. Oh, okay. Am I there? Okay. Everything cool now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to speak to empowerment. Okay. Personal
yes.
empowerment. And I don't mean this in an arrogant way. I mean in a just way. When all of this crap started going on with COVID, some of our students who happened to work for the airline industries called us and they were very upset. because they were being threatened with losing their jobs if they wouldn't take the shot, and they knew they didn't want to take the shot. Mm-hmm. So they said, can you help us? And we said, all right, we're going to write an affidavit that'll be generic. And anybody who's being threatened can send this to their company, corporation, whatever. And it lists a lot of information, all of the really nasty stuff about the COVID, why it's bad. And it holds them accountable, shows them that government had no authority to do this. So no company has any authority to do this to their workers. And it was a long 20-page document. So we sent it out to a few people. They sent it out to a ton of people. And a couple of weeks later, Southwest Airlines, which had been adamant about its mandate, for no stated reason, just dropped the mandate. And the next day, Delta did. And a day or so later, American did, and some other small airlines. And people who were working for various cities, like fire department people and police officers, road crews, that had come to us, and this was all over the country, asking us for help. They sent it to their people, and guess what? Their mandates were dropped too. So yes, you can do something, especially if you do it in large numbers.
And that's what's needed right now, is for all of us. Again, there are so many of us versus the ones who are trying to control us, that when we all band together, when we all unify, when we do this, you know, bring this collective consciousness together, and the pineal gland, which I have episodes that talk about decalcifying that and what you can do. I mean, we are powerful spiritual beings. And like you said before, I'm just getting on a roll right here, that that are, not only is our sovereignty at stake, but our souls and our spirituality and our voice and mine cannot be stopped. I would rather die. I would rather die than take the shot. I would rather die than not be able to speak. And I'm getting stronger every darn day with this. And I'm noticing, Margie, that more people, especially with the Balenciaga stuff that just happened. So maybe I'll do a link to that, that more people are starting to go, what's going on here? So yeah. I love that.
We need to see that. I mean, it always comes down to the same thing. Okay. People have to recognize that they are facing annihilation. The Balenciaga thing is repugnant. I've seen some photographs that would make you want to vomit. But remember when those transvestites started showing up looking like devils in libraries? What is wrong with the librarians? If somebody came into my library to read to a bunch of little kids, I'd say, excuse me, you're not doing that here. Get out. Okay.
Right.
There's no reason for it. Grooming children, you know, messing up their heads about their gender. And you have to understand, with all of the vibrational attacks that are going on right now, every one of us is at risk. And to speak of risk, part of the reason why those airlines and these other cities and towns stopped was they were afraid of their culpability, their risk. Because we made it very clear that if they force this mandate on their employees, their workers, and anybody suffered any medical harm or death, that these companies would be directly liable for their actions, because they had no authority, because the government had no authority to force them to do it. And, you know, most of these companies, they care about sales, but their lawyers care about risk. That's their job. They weigh everything. And so I think what happened is the lawyer said, oh boy, wait a minute.
Well, money.
If we have hundreds of thousands of employees suing us because of this, and they caught us dead to rights, we're going to be dissolved. So kill a mandate. And they did. And of course, about a month or two later, the Supreme Court said that it was unconstitutional, and they killed it. But it shouldn't have taken 2 months.
That was kind of
an emergency session, just like that.
Oh my God. Okay. So let me throw in there. I will put, if you're not familiar with Balenciaga, I will put a link down below. So essentially a big fashion, you know, Balenciaga, big name brand, whatever, had a photo shoot and had little kids to, I saw two pictures of two little girls holding handbags of like a panda and S&M gear. And then there were plants throughout the photo shoot. Me coming from advertising, you know, exactly each piece that is put in the photo shoot. There was one shot there. This was a girl, an artist who has these paintings of children and body parts and blood. I mean, it's one thing after the other. So go down the rabbit hole with that. What would you then recommend? So the big part about this podcast too is, okay, there's all this stuff going on in the world, yet we still need to stay grounded. I mean, we're a human being in this world. Yes, we're spiritual as well. Yet we need to stay grounded and as peaceful as possible with all the stuff going on. What, Margie, what would you recommend?
Well, I would recommend, first of all, that they do some internal soul searching, literally, and ask themselves what it is that they want out of this life experience and what they're willing to do to make it as whole and wholesome as possible. And if they can't answer that question in an affirmative way, then they need to do some really quick changes to themselves. They have to look and see whether they're going to be happy to capitulate and look the other way and, you know, hide in the back of the room, or if they're going to say, you know what, I have the power of my voice. I'm going to speak up and stand out. Now, take Balenciaga, for example. Those guys, to me, deserve to be rushed out of business. I think people should write them letters in the millions expressing their disgust at this vulgar, disgusting, obscene thing that they are using children in that way. And I think anybody who either is a patron of Balenciaga or who has thought about being a patron should write these letters. And I think they should castigate them. And I think it should go right up to the board of directors, because these people need to know they crossed the line. And most of these companies couldn't care less. All they care about is their bottom line. But we're talking about a line in the sand for the human race, humanity. And if we don't do something serious and in a unified way, this is another thing that's troubling. There are a lot of people who call themselves patriots, a lot of people who think they're in the alternative movement for, you know, news and media. They talk about the problems even, but they don't do anything.
When you helped me do that affidavit, the one thing, which is why I redirected my energy, was I was doing affidavits for people. They were not sending them in. So yeah. I was angered by the fact that I'm doing all this work. I'm giving you this completed document that has, all you have to do is send it in.
Yeah.
Would not.
Cowards. Again, people, again, there's a disconnect. It's hard for them to believe that these so-called experts and people that somehow they perceive are better than they are would tell them something that isn't true, would give them bad advice. Okay. We are giving our power away to the so-called experts. That has to stop. We have to go right to our own heart and say, I am the expert. And I'm going to make sure I am, because I'm going to do everything I can to find out the truth. I'm going to be objective, and then I'm going to act on it. And, you know, we just finished doing a teaching series with a fellow by the name of Mel Carmine, who has a website, ufs.1776.com. And we had hoped to have it up by this week, but Jack and I got between a heart attack and then just whatever. So we delayed in finishing the post-production, but we hope by maybe early next week it'll be done and it'll be uploaded. Because this is basically a how-to. To understand the Constitution, what you're
so anyone can see it?
Absolutely.
Okay, that sounds like a great link to include. Okay.
Right. And as soon as it's up, I'll send you the link. And I don't know if you need a passcode or something, but it's free. Okay, it's totally free. And it's about 20 hours worth of material. Because Mel said, you know, I've been listening to a lot of people for years. I've been looking at this crap for 30 years, and I thought I knew this and I thought I knew that, but he said, then I heard about you guys and I saw what you've done, not what you talk about, what you've done. And he said, I said, these are the guys I want to talk to. These guys are for real. Yeah, we are. Thank you. So we worked with him, and hopefully it's going to get out to millions of people, because we need millions of Americans to stand up. There's more of us than there are of these cretins that are running the show. But if we use our power, if we don't unite collectively as human beings, then we're going to lose our souls. We're going to lose our spirits, and we're going to lose any semblance of freedom. And if America goes communist totally, I mean, fully blown, there will be no freedom anywhere on earth ever again. Nowhere. It won't happen. We're the last option.
And I think with this, I'm going to say this out loud, the Just Be practice is going to be about that strength and that voice and coming together. Let me ask you this. One final question, Margie. And I want to talk to you. I don't think we're finished. Maybe at some point we can do a part two. I feel like we just hit 5%, but knowing you guys are incredibly busy. For me, submitting that affidavit was very hard because my daughter was going to that college. Submitting it to five people going, okay, I'm putting this out there and I'm putting my name on it. Are they going to boot her out of school? Right. And then doing, when they mandated the vaccine, did I do a religious exemption of consciousness? So in Ohio, there is medical, religious, and for reasons of consciousness to exempt a vaccination. So I think we did reasons of consciousness. And when I did that, I'm like, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know. But with each step, and then there was one time I went to a room where everyone was mandated to wear a mask. I was the only person that didn't. And I saw a police officer come in and I looked going, oh, I wonder if that's for me. Didn't happen. And I know that most people in that room were looking at me going, thank you so much for doing that.
Yes.
And when it was done, just taking these steps, because again, it is so hard because we are, you know, when other people don't like what you're doing or you feel that, you know, there's a part of us, oh, let me put on the mask just to make everybody happy and to fit in.
Yeah, right.
Okay. This is not what this is about. So again, if I can do things, you can do things. What would you add to that? Ooh, fired up.
I would say that it's time for everybody to really look into what they can do. Start locally. Everybody has a gripe with their city council or their school board or something over how they've handled the COVID thing. Go mm-hmm. there. If they're still making kids wear masks, if they're still, you know, isolating them or whatever, then start with that. If there's some kind of obvious error that's being committed over and over again, start with that. All of these people have a duty pursuant to the oaths that they took when they took their offices to uphold the Constitution. Now, you mentioned, you know, the various exemptions, religious, conscious, medical. That's all well and good, but you know what? You don't need that.
Right.
The Constitution is your exemption. The Constitution guarantees you your rights, your right to freedom of choice, your right to bodily integrity, the whole bit. There's nothing in the Constitution that permits any aspect of government or any aspect of private practice or what have you from infringing upon your rights. And even these corporations that say, well, we're not part of the government. Oh, yes, you are. You got a license, so you are part of the government. You operate under the government, and that means you operate under the Constitution, national and state. And if you don't, then you have no business being in business, and people should make sure that you don't stay in business. This is what we have to do. We have to find our voice. We don't have to be nasty about it. We
right.
can be very gracious and calm about it. But we have to be firm in what we say. Mm-hmm. It's not maybe we should have our rights. It's a definite, I am entitled to my inherent rights. See, the Constitution doesn't give us rights. Our founders recognized that the Creator endowed us with inherent rights. And so it recognized those rights. And that's why the Bill of Rights was put into place, to make sure that government recognized that we have inherent rights. And the Constitution guarantees them and secures them in the Bill of Rights. If you understand that, then when you go and speak to somebody who is trying to make an action against you that's going to harm your rights, you're going to go in there empowered. You're not going to go in there, please, please. You're going to go in there and say, look, you have a duty. You took an oath. And if you don't uphold your oath, then I'm going to take you out of office, because anybody who perjures his oath invokes Sections 3 and 4 of the 14th Amendment. Now, that means you cannot hold office any longer and you can't receive public funds. What's it going to be? And believe me, when you talk to them like that with confidence, they go, okay, thank you for coming in. They don't know what to do, because people have been so passive for so long. And part of it has to do with the spiritual movement, with the fact that people think that you can't be spiritual and you can't be a warrior too. Nothing could be further from the truth. Okay, we have to have a balance between our spirit self and our warrior self. And right now, the warrior self needs to come to the fore.
And it's so interesting talking about the divine feminine and the divine masculine too, that the patriarch has been so dominant, and then this warrior spirit, it's such an interesting mix of feminine, male, and yeah, it's just like it all needs to be balanced.
It does need to be balanced, but the feminine was taken out a long, long time ago. There's an awful lot of good books about that, but one book that you might find interesting is one by John Lamb Lash called Not in His Image. It's a very interesting book, and it shows in great degree why the feminine was taken out because patriarchy goes way back to Babylonian times, the ancient Hebrews, the whole bit. And the whole idea of a redeemer complex, in other words, waiting for the savior to come and fix you.
Yes.
And this unrealistic expectation that you're going to be like that. So you're going to suffer offenses lightly. You're going to turn the other cheek. That's nonsense. All that did was make the bad guys have a great advantage over the good guys who didn't want to get into any arguments and disagreements. Just like the people that won't stand up, that won't take their mask off. That's the same mentality. And it has poisoned this entire world for a long, long time. We got to recognize that this was a true deception on the part of these, what I would call the organizers, right? They're not even human as far as I'm concerned. The entities that are running this world are artificial intelligence. Have you ever heard of the Archons? Okay, you need to read Not in His Image, because okay, that'll give you an idea about these inorganic beings who came about purely by accident. And they are the ones that are whispering in people's ears and capitalizing on people's tendency to err and be confused. And they have no love for humanity. They have no love for us because we have the creative spirit in us and they don't.
And to end with this, y'all, use your voice. It just takes one voice. Like I talked about on the last podcast, being asked to wear a mask. I was totally taken aback, Margie, because, you know, no one's asked to wear a mask at all. So I had to go to a Western doctor with my daughter and went in, oh, we have masks. You have to wear them. I'm like, so I just stated very nicely, that's unconstitutional. And I brought up the Nuremberg Code. And because it was taken aback, I'm like, I will not sit in your lobby, but I will go sit outside because I'm not going to be a part of this. Next time I go and I've expressed this, I will basically say, those might be your guidelines, but they're not lawful. So if you want to send someone in here, a security guard, to take me out, then I will sue you for doing that. So just, I think even the part that I said, the girl was just sitting there and amazed that someone did not want to wear one. And even if she didn't understand what was coming out of my mouth, I still planted a seed in her
that
someone doesn't agree. So if you can just plant a seed, that's enough. Well, that's not enough, but that helps.
It can start, and the more people who do that, the more the powers that be will realize that the natives are restless, they're waking up, and they're not going to go back to sleep.
Okay, well, honey, I appreciate you so much being here. Is there anything else that you would like to close us out with?
I think we're good.
I so appreciate your voice. I so appreciate your warrior strength. I appreciate so much. I can't even put it into words. Thank you. Okay,
you're welcome.
I'm gonna stop this recording. Don't go yet, though. So I'm coming back again. We're just having a conversation that I was like, oh gosh, I need to record this again. So talking about Margie and Jack's book, Bypassing the Bank. Margie, what do you feel is going to happen with us financially?
Financially, we're going to go through a very dark time. There's going to be a major foreclosure crisis. Businesses are going to fail like crazy. They're going to try to put in a digital currency, and we have got to really let them know that we're not going to accept that, because once they do that, we'll be living on a social credit score like they do in China. And everything is digital. And if you're not a good girl or boy, you won't even have anything to buy, to eat, whatever. We cannot let this happen. We have to maintain our independence. And the only way we're going to do that is if we absolutely just say no, hell no, we're not going to take this. Mm-hmm. In terms of understanding what's going on, people need to realize that this whole scenario has been in place for a very long time. The communists have long, long-range plans. And one of their major goals is to have everybody under their umbrella financially and economically, because you have to have money to live. And they know if you don't have it, that, you know, you can't live. So you've got kids you have to feed. So you say, oh, okay, I'll do what you want. Get my kids food. And this is the type of thing that we call economic violence, okay? They've been perpetrating that on us for a long time. The foreclosure crisis that took place in 2007 and 8, where 20-something million people lost their homes for no reason. Most of the foreclosures, the people weren't even in arrears, okay? That's how evil these people are. These bankers are just no good. And so when we saw that thing happening, we said, you know, at some point we have to write a book. And people had been asking us for a long time to write a book. So we said, all right, let's do it. And that was one of the things that prompted it. But what people need to realize is they have to withdraw their consent. You cannot consent to something that's evil, because if you do, then you're evil too. And we used to use the word evil when we were doing seminars, and people would say, oh, you should call government evil. They're doing the best they can. I said, no, they're not. They couldn't care less about you. They're just selfish, greedy, power-hungry pigs. They don't care about you. You have to realize that as long as you are silent, you are tacitly agreeing to everything that they do, so it's your own fault. So if you don't like what's happening, speak up, people. Stand up. Say no and mean it. Don't wear a mask. You know, don't sit social distance and all this crap. And hold your ground. Don't be afraid. You have to get rid of the fear. What they have manipulated with
right.
is fear.
Fear and control. Man, woman, thank you. I want to be really acknowledging of your time. Thank you so much, Margie, again, for adding this little bonus attachment. I think that is great. Over and out.
Thanks.
Just be practice.
It is the next day to do this practice, which is great because what I thought I was going to do has totally changed. And there are major reasons. So, look at me, shake my head. Major reasons for that. How do I even describe it? All right. So Margie dropped potentially some big truths out there. So I'm going to drop more. I know this seems strange to talk about, but it just is. I had a psychological attack of the darkness on me. I ended up canceling one session and I was supposed to be a guest on a podcast at 5. I did it because these forces were, it was like the demons when I went to that house to kind of clear things out, how they, you know, were not nice. It was the same thing with this. Like, you are not going to use your voice. We're going to take that voice and take out your vocal cords. And so I had essentially to demand that they go, that my choice is not this. Okay. And I'll go into more of that because I also had another client friend of mine who has been struggling with the vid for 4 weeks. So we did the same thing with her. When I, and Margie was really clear about this as well. This is, and I don't mean to be dramatic here, but after what happened to me today, again, being part of this evilness, this is a war. For that to happen. I consider myself a pretty light person, and knowing that I brought the sheet right here, that in the fourth dimension, which we are in the lower planes of that, some of us, dark magic has its place here. Dreamwalkers, for example, can influence us on this plane easily when we are still full of fear, which I'm not full of fear, and have not learned yet to set healthy energetic boundaries. When we are able to create our own light and sustain it, so that it simply absorbs the darkness. So that is what we're going to work on today. It was unbelievable. And what I had, incredible nausea. Like it threw me for a loop. But then when I demanded that I make my own choices, and this is not, you are not here, it cleared up. And I'm still feeling tired a little bit today, but that's okay. And then my friend who has COVID, it's been like 4 weeks and she started getting desperate. So we did the same thing with her to demand that this goes away. And I felt this darkness had taken place in her heart, in her mind. We cleared all of that out. Okay, this is heavy stuff. And I had another client today that is just realizing that two deaths that happened in her life recently are probably because of the vaccine. So sad and crying. This, again, major stuff. And to stay somehow at peace with it, it is a challenge, especially after today. Like, okay, this is so real. What more do I need to see that this is real? So when she was getting upset about her friend, she's like, Eden, what do I do? So what I would encourage everyone to do is you don't have to go out and, you know, start a march, or it's just these little things. So for me, like when I was at the Summa Healthcare saying that I wouldn't wear a mask, standing up for the truth and not being afraid to stand up for it, knowing that this right now, if you do not take a stand, again, I believe that the light has won, but we are at this pivotal point right now that things things could change. I mean, no, they won't. Yet we can't just idly by and sit by and go, oh, well, someone else is going to do this. Someone else is going to do the work. No, you are important in this. All right. So I'm going to include, for example, something you can do. And Margie talked about this too. So caring, if I'm saying that right, owns not only Balenciaga, but many more luxury brands. And apparently Kate Spade knew about this. The goal of all of this is to put it in plain sight and to get our acceptance of it, even if we don't quite realize what that is. Now we're realizing. Okay, Kering, the parent company, also owns Gucci, McQueen, hopefully I'm saying this right, Yves Saint Laurent. And not to put this lightly, their nefariousness and their evil is all connected. And to believe that they're not, you are pulling the wool over your eyes. So I'm going to include on this podcast either an email or addresses. If you can just write a letter or shoot off an email, which is really quick, about how you disagree with this, that you are watching, huge. And from what I've seen, excuse me, their stores are not doing well. Like their store, Balenciaga, downtown in New York, is now boarded up. I saw a video of someone also quitting there. Okay. If this is what it takes for us to take a stand, a fashion company, but again, not only are all the fashion companies in it, all the stars that are a part of these brands. And at this point, I don't think Gucci or any of those other brands have said anything because they're all in it. All of them. Ugh. Now, what I'd like to do is just do a meditation that when we talk about healthy energetic boundaries that surrounds everybody in these boundaries versus protection, because we're also moving out protections, old in a sense, boundaries. And especially if we're now coming into this area where the dark and the light, ooh, interchanges and happened to me today. So healthy energetic boundaries. All right. I am going to imagine that all of us watching, listening, and I've done this before, but this is different this time. All of us holding hands, and I'm seeing this circle being huge. It is a circle of warrior-ness. And I've said in the past that what you fight, what you resist, persist, yeah, this is different. This is so different. As we are holding hands, I'm getting fired up. We are strong. We are demanding that we are sovereign, that nothing happens to us without our approval. And now our eyes are going to be opened more, that these things that we accepted, but we didn't know potentially, now we see them. We see them more and more and more, and we accept it less and less and less. And if we all come together, we have creative power over all of this stuff. Again, there are a select few that are controlling and trying to run this world. And when we realize that and break free of it, there are so many more of us. And if we bring this collective creative consciousness together, we cannot lose. Okay, and really there's nothing to lose. Yet being in this experience on this earth, there's a lot that is going on right now, and there is a lot to lose. This is a fight for your soul, for your spirit. This is big. And if I can somehow impart that to you today, to do something, no matter how small, to take a stand, to use your voice, to say no to some of these things, not just in your home, but to go out and say no. We cannot sit by and let this happen. Everybody here is important. And through our connection and through these hands, giving you the power to stand up, knowing now I've done it multiple times and it's been good. And it's empowered me more and more. Even with talking to these dark forces today, no. And it happened pretty immediately, but I, you know, still had to come back to it because again, it takes faith that you can handle this. And when you're in the face of nausea and not feeling good, oh, I must have a virus or I must, no, I do not get sick. I do not. As I'm talking about this, the power that is coming from my heart and outside of, or through my hands, through my body to you all, take it. Add your own. We got this, people, fellow humans, yet, I'm going to open my eyes for a minute. We cannot silently sit by. Okay, now I'm going to see us breaking hands, still sitting in the circle, knowing that just because we're not connected anymore, that power, that surging energy between all of us exists, persists, infinity. It will not leave you unless you want it to, because again, you have a choice. Wow, okay, what a day. And I do. I trust you. And if you weren't listening to this and doing this, God bless you. God bless you. You are here. Awesome. And I must tell you, I went from being off most social media to being back on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, Truth Social, and you might be watching this on YouTube, BitChute, Rumble, or listening to it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever. Please connect, comment, subscribe, like. Yum!